Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my podcasts here on the Hullerstubber feed. Do spread the word to other people if you think they might enjoy them. Do listen to some more if you think you might enjoy them, but do enjoy this one. I am shortly going to be on tour with my new stand-up show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Head to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all those dates. Some of them are sold out, some of them have hardly sold anything. It would really help me if you bought tickets to the ones that aren't sold out. Either way, as soon as you can. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about cancer and testicles. One of them's not funny, but one of them's really funny, and it kind of cancels out the unfunniness. I'd say just on average, slightly more funny. So I hope you'll come along. If not, keep enjoying the podcast. We'll be back in September at the Leicester Square Theatre with more live podcasts. Maybe a few Edinburgh ones before then. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this stupid podcast you've chosen to listen to.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Happy Easter. Please welcome a man whose children have forced him to reevaluate the whole of Easter. It's Richard Herring. Hello, my finest friends. Welcome. Thank you very much. Happy Easter. It's Easter Monday. I'm saying that for people listening to this podcast in July. Because it's all Easter topical material that's coming up. Why is he talking about Easter? He's gone insane. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to the Easter Bunny yesterday. It's pop round to deliver some Easter eggs. I'm very upset about that. I don't really understand the backstory. Where it's come. Is that an ill-defined mythical character? I would say. Anyway, he calls it, or she calls it, whichever she, I don't know, didn't look between his legs. He calls it Rellastapa. My daughter actually said to me, was the actual question, was the Easter Bunny born the day that Jesus died? That was why I was... Which I think that would make sense. That would be, you know, as he was on the cross, his blood fell to the ground, and then a little mythical cartoon bunny jumped up that could shit out eggs. That would be... They should make that how it started. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That makes sense. I do have another child-based Easter-themed thing for you. My son has been starting to write stories. He thinks that fairies and angels are the same thing, I should say. And this is a story he dictated. He can't write yet. He's 4 years old. It's called Jesus and the Angry People. He's very obsessed with Jesus, like his dad. Jesus had magic powers, and it was very dangerous. And then one day, Jesus, he knowed how to control his powers, because when he was a grown-up, he made people live again. And then Jesus died on a cross, and they put him in a coffin as well. And then the fairy angel made Jesus alive again. And then the angry people found Jesus, and Jesus made a sword with his magic powers, and then he killed all of them. Which is very like, if you're an aficionado of my work, the three men fight the men of Fife, which is a story I wrote at a similar age, which was all about Pharisees killing each other. So it's good to see that's passed on, but that's a nice little story from my lovely Easter story. The vengeful, zombie, vengeful Jesus. He made my wife draw all the coffins of the dead, angry people as well. I think Jesus should do more stuff like that. Right, anyway, I also have to thank Rahelastapa, backer Trevor, And we said, "What was there anything you would like us to say?" And he says, "I'm good, thanks." So, let us crack on. My guest this week is probably best known for playing Lindsay the Wizard in I Am Tim Helsing. That's why we're all here today. Will you please welcome the incredible Amy Gledhill, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Come in. I'll pour you some water.
You've got thank you. Hello.
Be polite. They're not. They're very. They don't know how to deal with social situations. A lot of these people, so they were confused by being a woman talking to them. On the most part, it's never happened before. They didn't know what to say. But well done. You did very well. How are you doing? Are you drinking Cherry Coke?
Pepsi Max Cherry.
Okay.
Different to Cherry Coke.
Okay.
It's superior in every single way.
All right.
It's the
taste of a new generation. That's what I understand. About six generations ago it was, anyway, at least. Was the Easter Bunny born the day that Jesus died, Amy? Can you help me with that? That sounds, makes sense, doesn't it?
He/she was born that day in a cave.
Yeah.
Probably pushed the boulder. I haven't thought about Jesus in a cave for a long time. But I think Jesus went in the cave, died, and then the Easter Bunny came out of the cave.
Oh, you think that Jesus died by going in a cave? Do you think he was sort of exploring a cave and got stuck? There was no one to come and get him out? I think he died before he got in the cave.
I don't know.
Okay.
So he was already dead.
Yeah.
Is that what science is saying?
Yeah, they stuck him in a... That's what... I mean, if he wasn't, it would be weird if he was still alive when he went in the cave and then he died and then he came alive. It would sort of explain it if he was a... Some people think he hadn't died at all. He was either pretending or he just was nearly dead.
Yeah.
And then they got in, he had a little rest and he got well again. But it could be magic. How do you explain the Turin Shroud if he didn't come back to life again? QED.
Good question.
What annoys me about the Easter story is it says Jesus was, 3 days in the tomb, and he wasn't 3 days, and he died on Good Friday evening and he woke up on Sunday morning. That is like 36 hours maximum. It's not even 2 days. It's a day and a half. So the Christians can fuck off. They think, I know. If you've been dead for 3 days, I'd be impressed. But a day and a half? Maybe not even that long. Takes him a little while to get to the cave.
Yeah.
That's where he dies.
And getting out of the cave.
Well, the Easter Bunny pushed back
the... Easter Bunny, yeah.
Pushed back the thing for him. Thought it was an egg. Who knows? Anyway, lovely to see you. Thank you for coming.
Nice to see you.
I'm not going to just ask you about. This is a new emergency question that's got based on my listening habits to Audible books and podcasts.
Yeah.
Just so we get to know you a bit before we discuss who you are.
Right.
What speed do you listen to podcasts/ audiobooks on when you listen to them? Do you listen to them at normal speed or do you speed them up?
Really pathetic.
What?
I slow them down.
Half speed.
Oh God! Because I listen to them to fall asleep.
Yeah.
It's a good tip. I can't sleep if it's quiet, which is really a great quality for somebody who's sleeping in a bed next to me. I'm sure that's very annoying. But I need some noise, and before I found the Calm app, I was on Audible. And if you just really slow it down, everything sounds really soothing.
Okay.
So even if it's like... Psycho. It's like, she stepped into the shower. And you're like, this is lovely. And you can just fall asleep to terrible, terrible murders.
I've started going 1.25 or 1.5.
Oh, show
off. Because you get through things a bit faster. Though I was listening to some podcasts with Dara O'Brien and them at that speed, and that was quite hard. But I managed to get there. But then I put it up to 2, just because that's as high as it can go. You go twice as fast.
Oh, yeah.
That's too far. Does anyone listen at 2 times? Yeah, do you? You busy, are you? I've got so much to do. To listen. Do you get through twice as many books? Yeah, that's why how it works, isn't it? Would you do three times if you could? Yeah. Yeah, okay. She talks quite slowly, doesn't she? Yeah. It's interesting. I'm going to ask everyone that now about the. It's a good new emergency question. Andy, what do you think?
Very good.
Thank you. I'm pleased with myself. It's hard to come up with a new one. When you've done about 5,000 emergency questions, you have to be proud when you come up with a new one. My kids write most of them now.
Do they?
Yeah, so that's the Easter Bunny one.
Yeah.
My son's one is, do ghosts have bum holes? Do you have a... I think I've answered it, but you're welcome to have a crack. It wasn't even fun.
I reckon. Yeah. Do you think so?
I don't think they do.
You don't think they have?
No, they don't have internal organs, do they? So why would they? They have whatever they're wearing.
But they have mouths.
Because they have mouths on their faces when they die. They don't have mouths if they're wearing a mask. They just have a mask. If they're wearing pants, which they all do, and you never see a naked ghost, you never see a ghost with a poo hanging out of its bum, even though lots of people must have died that way. So I don't think they do have a bum hole.
But if they died naked,
if they did,
would.
But when's the last time you saw a naked ghost?
Poor Easter Sunday. That's fascinating that you don't think that. So you think that they don't have genitals or anything?
I think they're just the apparition of whatever they were when they died. So, you know.
Well, there are a lot of arseholes that have died.
But they're wearing whatever they were wearing. They can't change, can they? Because they would change their clothes with the fashions. And it would be hard to spot them. They were, wouldn't it? If they could just go, I'll put on some modern day clothes.
That is true.
They have to wear whatever they were wearing, and that's how we know they're ghosts. Also, you can see through them. Also, they don't exist. Have you ever seen a ghost, Amy?
No, I haven't. No. I worked at the York Dungeon, so I played a zombie for many years.
Famous York zombie,
famous York zombie. Well, you had to play all different types.
Okay.
So my favourite role was plague victim.
Okay.
Pretty good at that one, thank you. Because I was mainly hungover. And you can be really method.
Yes.
With that. And you'd be like, God, she looked awful. And you're like, ugh. And I'm like, wow, what range. So plague victim was really good. Sometimes you'd have to play Dick Turpin's girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, but she had a southern accent, and I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't. So I'd just do that one very quietly.
Why? Did they know who Dick Turpin's girlfriend was?
I don't know.
Why did she have to have a southern accent? She's just a made-up character, presumably.
I think there is, like, facts to do with Dick Turpin.
Okay.
Like Easter Bunny.
Because she's called Dick Turpin's girlfriend, I thought maybe
she was probably didn't have that much information. Thing. I think she was called Molly.
Molly. Oh yeah, that makes
sense.
Probably, yeah.
Dick and Molly.
Yeah, probably.
Sounds nice. But no, because Dick Turpin he had a southern accent, didn't he?
I thought he was a northerner, Dick Turpin.
I mean,
what's he doing in the York fucking dungeons if he's not from York?
He was hung in York.
Okay.
According to Molly. No. This is why I got sacked from the dungeon. He was hung in York, but I think he was southern.
Okay.
Is anyone, Andy, do you know? You don't know anything about Dick Turpin?
Noel Fielding's playing him in a new drama.
That's true.
So we shouldn't get Noel. I mean, if I could have got Noel Fielding on, he would be on now.
Yeah, I get it.
Maybe I should talk to him. I wasn't expecting Dick Turpin to come up in this. Maybe I could give him a ring.
Should I give him a ring? That would be incredible.
He's probably putting his kids to bed. So, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. I'm sorry good. I'm not Noel Fielding. I really am.
We all are. So, Amy, it's lovely to see you. We worked out that you met your partner who you do the delightful sausage with, Christopher.
Yeah.
On stage here, here doing the new act, Leicester Square Theatre new act, which I was comparing for pizza and beer, and I don't remember anything about because I was drunk. But
yeah.
So this you used to work at this theatre.
Yeah, well, so I did that competition. Yeah. So it's for new comedians. And I was living in, I'm from Hull. I think I was living in Hull at the time. And I came down and I got to the final of this competition here. And I was like, this is a huge deal. You know, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. So what I immediately did after getting to the final, because I think this is like pure working class brain, I asked the manager if I could have a job behind the bar. And he was like, yeah. So I moved to London and then I worked here every night and couldn't gig or do any comedy. And I was like, I don't know if I've done this right or not. I think I've done it wrong. But I worked here and it was great. I got to watch this. So there'll be ushers. Hello. I used to do your job. So I used to come and sit here if it was a good show. And if it was a shit show, I'd be like, I'll do toilets.
So you could be a guest in another 9 years.
This could be you.
Yeah. Should we just get you on? No, okay.
Fielding, is it?
But David Mitchell and Robert Webb both worked as ushers at the Lyric Hammersmith.
Did they?
Yeah, they had quite a bad time, I think, because when I did a benefit the Lyric Hammersmith, they wouldn't come and do a gig there because they didn't like it.
Oh!
But it's good to see you back here. So you had a nice time here.
Yeah, I did. And what the best thing about working somewhere like this, I used to work here and I used to work at Latitude Festival. And so I'd work with comics. But when I was unknown and just doing, I'm still unknown, but doing like just open spot gigs, and you get to know who's horrible and who's not, and you were nice.
I was like, phew.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
Yeah. But there's a few that aren't. And it's been really good because now I'll be on the bill with them and I'll be slightly frosty and they won't know why. And I'll be like, yeah, I got you back.
Well, it's true. You know, but that is true. There are a lot of arsehole comedians. But I also think, like, in the performing environment, some people are more nervous and some people are more insecure.
Yeah.
Some people are just arseholes, though. I
mean, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, definitely. I get before a comedian goes on stage, oh, nervous. It's all right.
Yeah, a bit nervous.
It's okay. Just relax.
Not the only one who doesn't usually talk to girls.
Just imagine I'm a ghost with no genitals.
It's going to make me hard to do the rest of the conversation. Yeah. That's my...
I can't remember what we're saying now. I'm just thinking about genitalless ghosts. No, don't know.
Move on.
We'll move on.
So when you met Chris, is it Christopher or Chris? Can I call him Chris?
You call him whatever you want.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What was there something? Did you just get to know each other and say, let's do a double act? Or was it?
So I hadn't met Chris yet, but I was in a sketch group with his now wife.
Okay.
Right, so he was in a sketch group together. There was four of us, but we all lived in different parts of the country. And so we binned two of them off, and just me and his wife, Nicola, were in a double act. And then she was saying, God, come and see my boyfriend do comedy. And I thought, oh, God, Nicola, I don't want to go see your shit boyfriend doing a shit comedy show. It'd be terrible. And I kept putting it off. And then we met here, and I was like, oh, he's in the final. Like, he must be quite good. And then annoyingly, I watched him and he was like incredible. He was just like my favourite comedian, which is really awkward if it's your friend's boyfriend, because that's a really difficult thing to navigate, to be like, oh, I think he's amazing, but not in a sexy way. Like, to me, Chris is a ghost with no genitals. Yeah. Like, being in a male-female double act, there's just nothing sexual and... He is a bumholeless ghost. Yeah. It's just beautiful. So I was like, oh, he's really, really good. And then Chris saw me and was like, oh, she's all right. And then what he did very cleverly was he got Nicola pregnant and took her out of the stand-up comedy game and then swooped in and was like, let's be in a double act. I was like, all right, let's do that. We're called the Delightful Sausage. And we didn't think that name would stick. We picked it a long time ago when we just needed a name.
Yeah, I was talking this about... Well, I was talking to Lazy Susan about, how difficult it is to choose a name, and then you are stuck with it if you're...
Well, you just think, we'll do a gig. What? Yeah. Oh, Delightful Sausage. And then, like, 5 years later, we're like, oh, God. Oh, no. When we first started doing it, one of us would dress as a sausage and one of us would dress as a butcher. It was bad. It was really bad. But we'd take it in turns, who was the sausage. Okay. And then gradually, he never wanted to put this... I mean, I'll be clear, it was like a really cheap one from Amazon and it just looked like a turd. Like, there was nothing remotely glamorous about it. And he stopped wanting to wear it. And then he was so clever that when we decided to do Edinburgh Festival for the first time, we had a photo shoot and he was like, you put the sausage costume on. And he just turned up in his nicest clothes. And we had this picture. And then because I was in the like hot dog costume for the picture, it was like, well, you just be the sausage now. And then for 3 years, I was dressed as a sausage.
And you dressed as, you know, have you been the sausage costume?
We binned it off. Yeah. He didn't want to. I think he's scared that if the lady isn't dressed like a sausage, she might look like pretty and she might go further in a career or something, so he's like, you keep the sausage costume on. Stand at the back. But no, we don't do sausage costumes anymore, and it's gone a lot better actually.
Has it? I saw your special on Next Up.
I was dressed as a sausage.
You were dressed as a sausage. Yeah. I thought, you know, you could probably do it without being dressed as a sausage.
We made one joke about the sausage at the beginning and then never referenced it again for 3 years. But yeah, it's a lot better because I think it's quite alienating for an audience when one of you is just as a sausage and nobody's mentioning it. I think they're already like, no, we don't like this.
And if you're really hungry in the audience, you might think, I'm like in a cartoon and I'm seeing everyone as food. And you might eat them. That's what it's sort of like. But it's been very successful. You were nominated for... Your Twitter handle boasts... let me find it. You are the biggest titted Edinburgh nominee to date.
It's true.
Is it definitely true? Have you checked?
I've checked. Yeah, I've gone through. Checked everyone's cup size. You've got to take the wins where you can find them. And that one, at the moment, is mine.
Okay, well, congratulations. We'll see if there's anyone been nominated for an Edinburgh Award who has bigger tits. Do get in touch so we can... It's in the Guinness Book of Records.
Were you nominated?
I've never been nominated in 26 years of Edinburgh Fringe. A lot of the people who have gone on to be much more successful than me haven't been. Stuart Lee never got nominated. Ricky Gervais never got nominated. Stephen Merchant, Bill Hicks didn't get nominated. They all did the Edinburgh Fringe. So in a way. It's the best people don't get nominated. That's what I think.
All small tits as well, actually.
Small tits, yeah, they've all got small tits. Well, Stuart, not so much. Stuart might take you on there. Before we go on, are you ever mistaken for Amy Gledhill, co-author of BTEC National Sport and Exercise Science Student Book and Active Book for the 2016 specifications in brackets BTEC National Sport and Exercise Science 2016 end brackets?
No.
No, okay.
But there is another Amy Gledhill, and I have been mistaken for her. And so she's, I think she describes herself as an orgasm doctor. No, honestly, it's true. And
I saw her when I was Googling it. Yeah. I think she describes herself as a lingerie model who I think couldn't have orgasms.
For 11 years.
Yeah.
But now she worked it out. And she teaches
other people to have orgasms.
Yeah, and I am not her. Please don't at me.
Have you had people thinking that you're her?
I think some of the creepy DMs I get must be for her.
Do you think so?
I hope so.
Yeah.
They can't find a woman in a hot dog costume that attractive. Well, I don't know.
It's a very sexual thing, a hot dog, though, isn't it? It's like a sort of sausage between two buns. So like it's you're sort of you're asking for dirty DMs, where the, aren't you?
I don't think that's dress, the right dressing like to that, have.
Dressing up like a sausage. You're right. I'm sorry. I was only joking. Let's move on. I understand you nearly got a Rolf Harris tattoo.
Yeah. Oh my God! How do you know that?
I know everything about you.
I did.
It's
really,
lucky it's nearly,
did.
Very nearly, and just right just before he was uncovered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Why did you want a tattoo of Rolf Harris?
Oh, well, do you know what? This is awful to say now, but he's got some real banging tunes. There's a couple that, honestly, you don't want to like them, but you can't help it when they come on. You're like, oh, right, this is a good one. It's called Fine Day, like YouTuber. It's such a, it's a banger. And one night,
it's got a didgeridoo and also bagpipes in it. That song.
Yeah, it
it's
does.
Not that much of a banger. It starts with a didgeridoo. You think, can this get any worse? And then some bagpipes come in. I think it might be the only record in the world with a didgeridoo and bagpipes. Just need an accordion to come in next. And it's got the,
oh my God, it
triple
does.
Whammy.
Yeah. But when the beat kicks in, no?
Yeah.
You're not a fan of it? It's really good. Like, it is really good. But
make me think, oh, I must get a Rolf Harris tattoo.
Well, so I discovered this song at, like, a house party with some close friends, and it was, like, we got to, sort of, 5 a.m. and we were listening to this song over and over again. It was like, this is the best night of my life. And I was like, right. And my friend could do prison tattoos. Right. So I was like, this is it. Tattoo me. I want a Rolf Harris tattoo. And what I genuinely, at this time, I wasn't sober in any way, but at the time, what I really thought I wanted was the word Rolf under one boob and the word Harris under the other. I really thought that would be, like, genius. I thought it'd be so good. And I also thought, like, because the only people that would see it would be in a very privileged position. And I thought, if they don't get it, they don't deserve to be there. If they don't get how good Rolf Harris is, they don't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
And, but my friend could only find the ink. He couldn't find his thing to do it. Yeah. So he didn't get it done. But then, twist in the story, my friend died. I know. So then I was like, right, how do I commemorate him? And I was like, I'll get the tattoo I was going to get of Rolf Harris. So then I booked it in a shop, which was mad, because ringing up during the day when you're not drunk saying, hello, I'd like a Rolf Harris tattoo, please. I'd like Rolf under one boob, Harris under the other. Yep. Yes, I am sure. Thank you. And I booked it in, and then it was in about 3 weeks' time, and then about a week before the appointment,
yeah,
his house was surrounded by police. I was like, oh, just scratch that out, the diary. Yeah.
Isn't Harris like a nickname? It wasn't like a euphemism for ass, though, isn't it?
Oh, God.
So I really should have Rolf on your vagina and Harris on your ass.
God.
It would be helpful, and then you might be able to. You'd have to make it Ruffle rather than Ruffle, wouldn't you? You'd have to change it round.
Ruffle. Harris. Yeah, no, I'm really glad I didn't get it done.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I think even if he had been outed as a paedophile, I think it would still have been weird. I think I could have, you know, someone could have really liked you and then seen Rolf Harris and still gone, I'm not sure I want to be involved anymore. I think it would have been a bad move. I think aside from having a spider's web put on your face, that's probably the worst tattoo you can get.
Well, I nearly got Prince Andrew. And then I could have just scribbled Andrew out. It's been like, the artist formerly known as Prince, yeah, just keep one covered. Ass. Yeah.
You could have had 10,000 men sort of from various points up your breasts. Come on, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
did you have a, I couldn't find anything more about it than the title, but did you have a show called The Girl Before the Girl You Marry?
Oh, this is going to be my new show.
Oh, is it the new show? Okay.
Oh, it's good that that's already online.
Is it? Yeah. I saw that. So that's a very good title, I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I like it. I'm immediately intrigued. Well, if you've not done it yet, you can't tell me much about it, presumably.
No.
Okay. have you written? I think, you know, I think if the COVID has taught us anything is don't write your Edinburgh show too soon.
Yes.
Don't start until June or July, which is what I always did. So I've been proven correct. You are going to be up at Edinburgh. Is you going to be doing that show in Edinburgh? Or you're you're doing the Delightful Sausage, right? In Edinburgh?
Doing both.
You're doing both.
Yeah. So you can come and see the sausage at 12:45, and then I'm going to do my show at 3:30, so I reckon just get it all done, get all the adrenaline done.
Yeah.
Bed by 6 p.m. I think that's how it'll work.
That can work, and you can see some other shows. It is quite good to do afternoons, especially with if you like watching comedy, because most of the comedy's on late. You won't be able to see my show.
When's your show?
1:10, which is just this though.
Oh.
You'll be able to listen to it afterwards if you're that bothered.
Yeah.
You've seen this show a lot by the sounds of it, so we need to. Well, let's talk about Yorkshire before we talk about more about your career. You were born in Hull. I was born in Pocklington.
Were you born in Pocklington?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I left Yorkshire when I was 4 years old, so I don't remember much about it.
Do you class yourself as a Yorkshireman?
I do.
That's nice.
My family are all from Middlesbrough, which was in Yorkshire, and I think it might... Is it back in Yorkshire now, Middlesbrough, or is it still in... It was in Teesside. That doesn't exist anymore, does it? Andy McKay, does it still exist? Ah, fuck. It used to be Yorkshire. I could have played cricket for Yorkshire, because I was born in York, near York anyway, but I wasn't very good at cricket. That's where it went wrong. And I wasn't racist enough as well. That was the other... I was quite racist, but I wasn't... They said, it's just not good enough. I said, I'm not saying that word. They said, you can't come. Let's just find out if you really are born in Hull.
Oh, go on.
What is the tallest building in Hull?
Ooh.
Yeah, suddenly the facade falls away.
Oh, no, I'm really a posh Londoner. You got me. Is it it's the brick tower thing. Is it an industrial
building?
It is
a tower.
It's a tower.
It's 57 metres tall, if that helps.
I
think it might. You might. It's the main tower of the Hull Royal Infirmary. Is that what you were thinking of?
No, it's not.
57 metres tall.
Oh, my God.
That's what the internet says. It's the tallest building in the city and has stunning views reaching across to Grimsby. Have you ever been up the Royal Infirmary Tower?
Yeah, I have. Because Ward 13, which is the top one, is a children's ward.
Okay.
And because I'm very cool, when I was a child, I was very ill and used to go to hospital and go to school in hospital.
Did you?
Yeah, pretty cool. So I was a very a loser as a kid. So I was like very ginger, very asthmatic.
That's
always
not.
Ill.
You don't go to hospital for being ginger, though.
I was so ginger. They were like, let's keep her away from everybody else. No, why was it? I used to get, got osteomyelitis, which okay. is like, I mean, this isn't very like sexy chat, but it's an infection in your bone.
Okay. And it's not meant to be sexy.
What is this then? What was all that bumhole stuff? Told you about Rolf Harris. Like, what?
I mean, it has been quite sexy.
It has been quite sexy.
It has been quite, but it doesn't have to be. We can, okay. we can disgust people with bone diseases. Is that what it is?
Great.
Yeah. Some people like that as well, so you have to cater for all tastes.
Should it be like ASMR? Then I got a bone infection. But anyone can get it. It's just like, you know, like how you get a cold or COVID or whatever. It's just an airborne thing. And I was fine. And then my knee started hurting. And my mum did the typical northern parent thing of like, oh, put some ice on it and fuck off, basically. And it just, it got worse and worse and worse. And then she said, as a punishment, she was like, well, do you want to go to A&E? Is that what you want? It's like, yeah. She's like, oh, right. Okay, right. So we went and they were like, oh, yeah, whole leg's infected. And they just had to put me on antibiotics for ages, but then I was allergic to them. So then I ended up staying in the hospital for a long time and going to school there. And it's really brilliant because the nurses who, or the teachers, can't tell you off because you're ill.
Right.
So you can be like, not doing my homework because my leg hurts. And they're like, that's cool. Yeah. And I was the only kid in the class.
Right.
So I was top. And it's very difficult to get bullied if you're the only kid. So I was like, here we go. Yeah. Being ginger and asthmatic and chubby, it's my time to shine on Ward 13. It was great, yeah.
Well, they didn't teach much because they didn't even teach you were in the tallest building in Hull.
No,
at the
I know.
I could have said, here's an interesting fact. You'd be able to wow. This might come up, they could say. And you could have wowed me.
Oh.
That's the best response we've ever had to the tallest building in the hometown of Person Question. Haven't done it for a while, but, you know, that's the thing with emergency questions. They can open up new worlds. How are your bones now?
Oh, they're all right. They're all right.
Because Daro Breen's got a thing with his knee as well. Part of his femur fell off.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll talk to him about that next week.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought I'd have a knee injury disease based week. You know, I always theme these shows. I work very carefully, saying who will go together. Didn't know about your knee, so that's very nice to know. Very nice to find out about your knee. and you've also, so you do writing, you do acting,
yeah.
You were the Carolina Hearn Bursary Awarder in 2019-ish, 18-19?
Yeah, 19.
So what's they give that every year to a promising new writer or comedian?
Yes.
Or both? Funny writer.
Writer/performer,
right, okay.
It's for. So the first winner was Sophie Willen, who's done Alma's Not Normal with her bursary.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. She's won BAFTAs, she's won everything. Then the second year they gave it to me and I just, you know... still working on it. It's hard, isn't it?
It's hard writing.
It's hard when the person before you's literally smashed the shit out of it by writing the best sitcom anyone's ever been in. And then I'm like... oh, maybe I'll just start this one again. There's a lot of pressure. But basically with that, you get to have a sitcom developed. Doesn't mean it'll go on the telly, but it means somebody will give you notes on it and go, this isn't going on the telly. Thank you so much. I'll try again. Thank you. Which has been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really good. But yeah, it's hard.
Did you have a sitcom idea, or is it still under wraps?
Yeah, no. So it's about, well, it's based on The Girl Before the Girl You Marry,
right,
kind of thing. Which is like a love triangle that is set in the York dungeon, actually.
There you go, nice.
Yeah, there you go. Plague victims in it. Dick Turpin's girlfriend can be in it. Yeah.
And you're in Alma's Not Normal, right?
Yes.
Yes, because I saw a clip of you being very funny in that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. I got to work with Dave Spikey.
Yeah.
He's nice. Yeah. He's a good one. Lovely. That's the first thing I always ask when somebody mentions someone. It's like, oh, are they nice? And he is nice, so I can say that.
That's good. Yeah, but a lot of people said that about Jimmy Savile. And Rolf Harris, to be fair. A lot of people said they weren't, though, as well. Listen to those people. That's what I would say. right, I'm going to ask you. I've got a brand new, newish emergency question I want to ask you. If you were like a caterpillar, but you were still you, and you went into a chrysalis and dissolved, and then you could come out, but you can come out as anything you want. It can be another person, it can be another thing entirely, it can be you, just different. What would you come out of if you could choose what you'd come out of the chrysalis as?
Oh. That's a great question.
I know, it is good, isn't it? That's why I sprung it on you.
Do you know what? I think I'd like to be... You know when you go to the theatre and you get a little ice cream and then you sit down and you go, I don't have a spoon, but then you open it and there's a little spoon in the lid.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to be that little spoon. Just like a little treat and you go, oh, no, and then you go, oh... thought of everything.
So you would just be the spoon?
Yeah.
Or you would have the spoon?
No,
because you could be you and you could have the spoon in your head or something.
No.
Then you just always have a spoon.
I think I'd just like to be the spoon. Little spoon, I think.
It's a useful spoon.
But maybe I'd be like single-use plastic and actually part of the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough, isn't it?
They do have them made out of wood sometimes.
Yeah, splinters on your tongue.
Yeah, that's true.
I regret it.
I think would you be sentient or would you just be a... Would you just want to turn into a dead plastic spoon? Or would you be a sentient plastic spoon? Because I think if you were sentient and you were going, thank you for using me, I think people go, oh, we won't throw her. Let's clean her and give her to someone else. So you'd always be used as a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be multi-used. I mean, it's a weird thing to choose out of all the things you could be.
It's just the first thing that came to me.
I know, that's why it's a good question.
Clear as day. I was like, don't filter this. Go with your heart. My heart is wrong. Can I change it and say, like, a big cat? I don't know.
Having three wishes is bad, isn't it? Because that's what people do. You go, I want to be a spoon from the top of an ice cream. I didn't think hard enough about it. And then you undo that and now you're a cat. You've only got three wishes and that's it. You're stuck as a big cat.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, my last one is the one I'm going with.
Okay.
And I'm going to be... God, it's hard, isn't it? Because you're like, well, Beyonce, but then she got cheated on. Oh, do you know what? It's really hard. I'd like to be... No, don't say that.
Go on, say it, Amy.
No.
Don't say it.
I'd like to just be the best version of myself,
okay,
Richard.
That's nice. That's sort of really what the question's about. Rather than just saying that, you'd say what the best version of yourself is.
Oh, I've fucked it, haven't I?
No, it's
what
good.
What do you want to be?
What did I say? What did I thought? I think when I first answered it, I was going to be like a pile of rocks you could hide behind or something. It's a hard question to come up with the answer to, isn't it?
So you do come up with something useful first. I just want to be of use.
I think it's a way of delving into someone's psyche and finding out what their wishes, their dreams, but also what they fear they're lacking, I suppose. So what you fear, you just don't feel you're useful enough.
Just
in an ice cream eating situation.
Just need a pack
It's just
of
when you're out with people, just carry some spoons with you.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, have a spoon in your pocket. Then if anyone needs a spoon, you go, do you want to borrow my spoon?
Great.
So we don't need to do the whole chrysalis thing. I don't know if this is a true story. I read that you once did a gig in a corridor.
In a what?
Corridor.
Corridor. Yeah. I did. One of the first gigs I did when I moved to, because I lived in London, like I say, when I worked here, and then moved back because I was like, that I did that wrong. And then I've moved back. But when I first got here, so when I was quite new, I did a gig in Lewisham. Mm-hmm. Is that a place?
Some fans of Lewisham.
Lewisham. And it was a really, no offence, rough pub. It was really scary. And the guy who ran it, who I don't think runs gigs anymore, showed me around the pub, and he showed me to a room which was perfectly set out for comedy. There was about 30 chairs and a microphone, and they were all facing the right way. And I was like, oh, this looks nice. And he said, we're not going to do it in there. That's for the cinema room. And it's like, okay, well, where are we going to do it then? And there was a corridor between the toilets and the bar, and he just had a microphone stand. And he said, we'll do it here. So nobody had paid for the gig at all. Nobody wanted comedy. And he said, how long can you do? And I was like, brand new. So I was like, 5 minutes, maybe seven. And he was like, right, do 15. Then I was like, well, he's like, do 15. Then we'll have another act on and then just go back on and do the same 15 again. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this because the pub was really rough. And then he got his phone out and he started showing me pictures of his wife, very scantily clad. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. And then he was scrolling through and then he went, oh, that's me with a gun. And then kept going. And I was like, I'll do 15, yeah, whatever you need. And I started doing the gig, like nobody was listening at all. And I was just sort of saying things into the ether. And he stood next to me just heckling me. Wow. But he had a gun, so it's like, yeah, whatever you want, mate.
He had a picture of himself with a gun. That's not the same as having a gun.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, it might have been like a water
pistol. If you don't do well,
I'm
going to show you another picture of me with a gun. People don't do that. They don't go into banks and go, look, there's a picture of me with a gun, so I hand over all the money. It's a crazy. When we were in Montreal, and this is like 96 or 97 or something, and we did a gig in a little club in Montreal, and then there was a guy, quite a tough looking guy, who was making a fuss and not really listening, and I really laid into him, and he got taken out. He was angry with me, and he got taken out of the room. Mm. And then when he got out of the room, he produced a gun. And so he was in the corridor with a gun and was showing this gun. Luckily, he didn't point it at me because he was outside by the time he got the gun out. But I was being very cocky and to turn this guy who was an idiot to a guy with a gun in in Canada. So that could have been it, couldn't it?
That could have been it.
That could have been it. That was a real gun. That wasn't a picture of a gun. But to be honest, he didn't show me the gun. That's it. If someone's got a gun and doesn't show you it, in a way, that's scarier.
Yeah, that is scarier.
Because then they get out and then go, I had that there all along. Then they shoot you.
Oh, my God.
If he'd shown me a picture of him with a gun, I probably wouldn't. To be fair, I probably wouldn't have done the material. So you've got a podcast.
Yeah.
A Lovely Time with Amy Gledhill.
Yeah.
What's the premise of the podcast?
It's a really original premise, actually. It's very, very good. It's just...
Like this one's very original, where I talk to a comedian.
Yeah, so it's just talking to mainly comedians about what constitutes a perfect day.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really nice. And we set it up during lockdown as something like lovely, just like cosy and comfy to listen to. But comedians are really dark, aren't they? So everyone's a lovely time. We're like, oh, how would you start your day and where would you be? And just within three questions, it's a pit of despair.
Right.
So it's like, come on, guys, let's keep it light. I've got Rolf Harris here, come on. But it's really fun. And we've had some lovely guests on, but yeah, it's never 100% lovely. It's because it's them questions where you say, like, how do you have fun?
Yeah.
You think you know the answers, but then you say things like, I'd like to be a spoon in an ice cream tub. You know, it's tough. It's tricky.
It is hard, yeah. but you don't want it to be too nice.
That's true.
I mean, it's a nice idea. What's your lovely, what would be your loveliness? Would you, if you were asked your own questions,
ooh,
would it come out nice or would it come out, I've been shot by someone because they didn't like my Rolf Harris tattoo?
A man shows me a picture of a gun. my lovely time would be by the beach, something to do with the sea.
Yeah.
I really like the sea, and I went to school by the sea, so it'd be something to do with the sea and wearing a big woolly jumper and having Pepsi Max cherry and enough crisps to put you into a coma.
Okay. That's doable, I would say. I think you can do
that.
How
many packets do you reckon?
Of crisps?
Yeah.
I think you and I could get through a lot of packets of crisps before you went into a coma.
Let's put a figure
do you,
on it.
What size packets of crisps do you favour? Do you like the big packs, or do you are you talking little packs? You're talking the child's crisps, or you're talking grown-up crisps?
Oh, I think the man's challenging me to a grab bag. I'd go grab bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon.
But I'm going bigger than a grab bag. I'm going like... You know, kettle crisps or Tyrrell. Tyrrells are like now, because kettle crisps are not as good as they used to be. Have I changed or have they? That's the question. But Tyrrells, ridged salt and vinegar. They're
salt
the best.
And vinegar?
Salt and vinegar Tyrrells, ridged crisps are the best ones. Don't get the ones without ridges on. Don't come back to me and said, I tried the Tyrrells crisps without ridges and they were adequate. Come back when you've had the ridged ones.
That's big words, because salt and vinegar will take the skin off your lips.
Do you not like salt and vinegar?
Yeah, I do, but I've eaten enough to know after a full pipe of salt and vinegar Pringles, you will have burnt the inside of your mouth.
I don't like Pringles.
All right.
That's why I was going on about the Tyrrells. I don't count Pringles as crisps.
What?
Danger of doing this is one of these. Well, Pringles now do an advert in the podcast. I'm going, hey, everyone, eat Pringles. They're great. Pringles are fucking shit. I'll never do an advert for them. They're like, you eat them and they just turn to dust in your mouth. And it's just like, and then you go, this wasn't even a crisp. It was just a load of dust stuck together to resemble a crisp. And it's got a weird aftertaste. Don't buy Pringles. If Tyrrells are listening, come to me, baby. It's like someone asked me, I like Soleros, right? I'm a big fan of the Solero. Exotic flavour only.
Okay.
The other ones, the berry flavours one, are fucking disgusting. And if Solero want me to advertise them, I will, because it's my favourite under 100 calories treat.
Ooh, is it under 100?
Yeah, it's 96 calories. I have one every single day. I've got about 30 of them in my freezer in my garage, because sometimes you go to the supermarket and you can't get them. So if they're there, you have to buy a load of boxes. And I have one a day. I've had one a day for, I would say, at least the last 4 years. So if Solero want, I can give you a proper advert for that. But if I have to say mixed berry, Solero's a nice, I'm going to fucking kick off. Because they are the worst thing. It's like a balance of the universe. They've created the exotic Solero. They go, we have to balance the universe. It's too good. Let's make the shittest things ever. That people, like a supermarket delivery, will go, oh, you wanted Soleros? Well, they didn't have the exotic. Have the berry, you'll be happy with that. No, I am not happy with that. You can take them right back in your little van, mate. How dare you? How dare you?
Very intense.
I feel very strongly, and I feel that strongly about anyone I advertise on this. That's how strongly I feel about their product. You've played the Hollywood Comedy Store. How was that? That's very impressive. I've never played in America. I've never. Have you?
Yeah.
Have you suddenly look like you hadn't done that.
No,
but you
have done,
yeah. Because then you go, shit, I'm going to have to pretend I have.
Yeah, definitely. No, I did.
How did you end up doing that?
Well, I went just travelling around America, and just did the sort of grifting thing of messaging who I could and being like, oh, get me on. And I was doing a lot of open mics, and their open mics are crazy. I've done
Montreal. But not open mic, but I, you know.
That was with the gun guy.
The gun guy. And then I've done it with other... I was talking about this because I was doing a thing about Billy Connolly the other day, but there was, and I'm sure I've mentioned on this, but I did a gig in Montreal where it was all like stand-ups doing about 4 or 5 minutes each, but every American stand-up was just doing basically racist and sexist material, but because their dad was the race, or
they
were allowed to do it, but it was just very old-fashioned material. It was made me want to stop doing comedy forever.
Oh, shit.
Then I walked back to the hotel and I got in the... There was a little lift that takes you up one floor to the main lobby of the hotel, and Billy Connolly got in the lift and started taking the piss out of the lift for 5 seconds, 10 seconds. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I decided to carry on doing comedy.
Oh, my God. That's lovely.
But, yes, so tell me about your experience rather than mine.
Billy Connolly tattooed.
Yeah,
I did. So I was just doing like open mics and stuff, and open mics there, anybody at all can just put their name on a list, and there could be 40 comedians, and some were comedians and some were just like bewildered people that had just gone, yeah, I'll put my name down, what is it? But it's amazing because you see these like super slick acts that are doing amazing stuff, and you're like, God, this should be on the telly. And then you literally see like someone just screaming, just having a big scream for a bit, and you're like, yeah, absolutely fair enough. Because I had an English accent, and they don't know Hull accents are bad. This is the crucial thing. They were like, wow, this is amazing. And then a guy who'd been on was like, I can get you one at the comedy store if you're interested. I was like, just a bit. So I did it, and I was still really new and definitely didn't have the material to be doing it, but the accent was enough. And they're so good there. And they're just like, I got introduced as the Queen of England.
Right.
With a Hull accent. Like, wow, it was mind-blowing. And it was really good. And I met some comics out there who put me up. And they lived in San Francisco. And there was maybe about 15 of them living in this house. And they all had like one guy lived on the chair.
Nice.
And one guy lived on the sofa. And one guy gave up his cupboard for me to stay in. But it was like so cool. And I'm still friends with them on Facebook. And some of them are like on telly now. Hopefully they've moved to an apartment of their own and off the big settee. But it was amazing just like seeing their commitment and stuff to doing stand-up. And I think it's a bit like how, you know, how comics live in Edinburgh, where there's like 8 of you on a floor,
yeah.
But you do it for the love. But they did their whole lives like that.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
I think in America it's probably harder to get going, and it's sort of difficult,
yeah.
You know, the circuit in America, to have to travel from city to city, if you're doing that by bus or if you're doing it, you know,
yeah.
it's hard.
Yes,
But then the payoffs are big, and that's what I felt about Montreal. There's a lot of people who are really actors. Trying to get the part. Well, certainly in the 90s when we first went, I really felt that there was a lot of people who felt they'd learnt a script.
Yeah.
And to the extent that if they went wrong, they'd go, excuse me, and walk back a couple of paces so they were in the right place. And then
really?
Yeah.
Line.
Yeah. It really was. So it was like really weird. So I think that there's, you know, that's the dream. You become a character in a sitcom.
Ah, that makes sense.
You know, and then become a millionaire. So that's probably why it's worked. Which I suppose is sort of the Edinburgh dream as well, but on a temporary basis.
Yeah, not to be a millionaire, just to pay off your Edinburgh fees.
Yeah, yeah.
Fingers crossed to break even. Yeah.
Would you like to go to America? Would you like to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think so. I think they're in terms of sitcom and stuff like that. I think they're absolutely incredible. But I, apart from like Maria Bamford and stuff like that, I don't watch that many American comics actually.
Yeah.
Stand up. I mean, when I do, they're really good, but they're so slick, and I really like a shambles. And I just don't think they embrace chaos maybe as much as.
Yeah, there may be an element of that. I mean, Maria's really interesting because she's extraordinary. I think she's absolutely one of the best stand ups in the world.
Yeah.
But you also think. How did you get through?
Yeah.
You know, how did you get through the first few years? It must have been really hard.
Yeah.
For lots of reasons, but she's just astonishingly good. So yeah. But you know, I think the American sitcoms are so amazing. They've really got that sorted out, and it is everyone's sort of the full package, which I guess you, is what you're doing, you know, you're writing, performing, acting, you solo, stand-up, double act, you kind of got all the bases covered.
Fingers in as many pies as I can.
Absolutely, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
You only need one of them to really work.
Yeah, but I think also when you, you know, when you're young, you can go to Edinburgh and do two or three shows a day.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a really good thing to do and try different things. But then it does start, you get a bit older and it starts to get very exhausting. So you do half the festival with one show that's just made up as you go along. You don't have to do any work. That's what I imagine will happen to you when you're 55. That's what I'm imagining. Right, I'll ask you a couple more emergency questions and then we'll let you go. I'll ask you, this was a more recent one as well, which is if all the museums and art galleries in the... I say that, I've been doing this one for ages, but I love this one. If all the museums and art galleries in the world got together and said, we love you and your stuff, Amy, you can have one thing from all of our museums and art galleries to keep and you can take it home and it's yours. What art piece of art or historical artifact or whatever would you like to have? Oh. Could be someone from the York Dungeons. Or it could be the Mona Lisa. It could be whatever you want.
Do you know what I really love? And I've seen it. Well, it's a replica, but I've seen it twice. And I get really emotional about it. And I don't know why, especially when I tell you what it is. So there's Duchamp. Do you know? He's like a Dadaist, which I don't know much about. But I found out that he was making these things called ready-mades, and he got a urinal, a toilet urinal, and signed it and was like, that's art. And I think that's amazing, because it's like big finger up to a lot of things there, Duchamp. And I've seen it in San Francisco, and I saw it. It's in the Tate now, and I just love that it's just a urinal. Mm-hmm. I think that's dead cool. And for my degree, because my mum doesn't think art's for her, any art... I made her, for my final piece, I made my mum sit on a bench and eat some fish and chips. I was like, you don't have to do anything and you can be the art mum, you can do it. And my examiners came and had to just watch my mum eating some fish and chips on a bench. And like, I really thought, you know, like, when I was at uni, I was just like, this is so cool. This is mind-bending. And as soon as it was happening, I was like, what have I done? What have I done? And then my mum got the giggles and she couldn't stop laughing. And there was just like fish coming out. And she always has like a bit of... My mum's great, but she always has a bit of kitchen roll in her sleeve, do you know, like, just in case. And she was, like, absolutely, like, wetting herself, and she's getting this kitchen roll out, like, spitting fish into it, and my examiners, like, three of them, stood just, like, watching this thing happening, and they don't know what it's meant to be, but, yeah, I think I did pass, but only like just. But my point was like, oh, anything can be art, Mum. She was like, no. And I was like, yeah, maybe not. Just leave it to the other people.
You could have had anything. You've just chosen to have a urinal. I can buy you a urinal.
Can
you? Yeah, I can send you a... What kind of urinal do you want? Do you want the ones that's just like a little sort of oval egg on the wall?
Yeah, this one's quite a curvy one.
Yeah. Just one that sort of sits halfway up the wall.
Yeah.
Because there's the trough type you can have. That's a bit more expensive. but yeah, I'll sort you out one
Could
of those.
Could you?
Yeah, I'll sign it for you.
Would you? Yeah. I'd love that.
Okay. Would you take that instead of a fee?
Instead of a mug. Yeah, I absolutely would. And urinal cakes is something I've only just learnt about.
Yeah, they're great.
They sound delicious.
They do sound good.
I'm not totally scrumptious.
I think one of the mad... Peter Benham used to do Mad Thoughts when we used to do Lee and Herring and on the radio. And I think one of the ones I came up with was the idea of eating one of the urinal cakes. That every time I go to the urinal, you think about eating one of those urinal cakes. Because they look like they might be nice, but they're also covered in wee. So you're aware, and you know, that you know they're probably not... don't taste good. Even if you ate one from the packet, I mean. But once a lot of men have weed on it... Yeah. Who'd have thought we'd go into the gutter like that after such a all the art?
Can I tell you as well? Yeah. So on this uni course, one of the modules I did, because again, very cool, before I'd done stand-up was about stand-up comedy. And my point was, can can you talk about anything in stand-up comedy, and can it be a force for social change, right? And at the time, you were doing the Hitler's Moustache tour. Oh, yeah. And I based it on that.
Oh, my goodness.
So I didn't know when to tell you because I thought it might be awkward. But basically, I did my dissertation on you.
And it proved that you can't do comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, oh, yeah, absolutely not. This shouldn't be happening. And I interviewed you after a gig that you did in Darlington.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you were really nice.
That's twice. That is, to be once was a bit of luck. Twice. Yeah. That had to be okay. Darlington, I'm trying to remember that. Is that that... I'm trying to think if I remember. I don't remember much.
No.
I'm glad I've written a blog for the last 20 years because it means I can find out what I did. But I do remember the gig in Darlington.
It was in a big... it felt like a nightclub.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I remember
but
that.
It was really good. But I saw it a few times and then, yeah, luckily got to interview you. And then, so there were some brilliant quotes in my dissertation where I think maybe you'd even used a swear word and I felt very cool keeping that in.
I know one of my big influences on the young generation of comedians. So, you know, it's nice... Nice to have my work recognised in a fucking dissertation. I don't need any awards or anything. Or people coming to see the shows. So what I like to do is just be kept quite secret. People to judge me on the bit of stand-up I do at the beginning of Rahalastapa. But that's what I like. They decide that's what my stand-up is. Good. So Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
August, all the way through. Delightful Sausage and The Girl Before the Girl You Marry.
Yeah.
It's a good title.
Oh, thanks.
I think it's a very good title. I'm very excited to see it. I can see that. I can't see The Delightful Sausage. Which one's the one you're doing first? You're doing The Delightful Sausage.
Delightful Sausage first.
Yeah, so yeah. I can see your stand-up show. So I'll come and see your stand-up show.
Great.
Ladies and gentlemen, go and see Amy Gledhill, the amazing Amy Gledhill. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week. See you next week. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Amy Gledhill. Thank you to Scant Regard, who played this music. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre and everyone else who knows me. I would also like to thank the following Kickstarter backers, who are Sarah Bitchy Witchy Richie, Alan Webb, Paul, Barry Bailey, Earl Squirrelson, Lauren Gerrard, Adrian Ratcliffe, Little Jeff, Fiona, Chris Danger, Neil McCulloch, Callum Thomas, Rashad Maharaj, Rashad, Becky G, James Mansbridge, Ben Long, Derek Smith, Terry Westgate, Bushy, Kevin McDonald, Matthew Hothersall, Aaron Cottam, Alex P, Paul Hadgett, Not Applicable, Dr. Andy Collin, Matt Phipps, Becky Fox, Jonas Hershey, John Chapman, Steve Lacey, Dave Vass, Operatic Bacon, Shane Brennan, and Chris James. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Head to richardherring.com/gigs to find out where Rahalastapa is coming next. We're at the Edinburgh Fringe. Why not come and see us? 110 at the Assembly Ballroom. Everything's about balls these days, my fine friends. It's all about balls.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for fantastic downloads and books, and to join the Go Faster Stripe Club and get loads of stuff from really interesting comedians. Help little Chris Evans knock that one out. That would be lovely. All right, RichardHerring.com for all my gigs. Hope to see you at a gig. Come and say hi after if you've enjoyed these podcasts. Don't come if you haven't enjoyed them and say you haven't enjoyed them. It'll make me feel sad.